WEOO Radio is proud to present Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Amy Goodman will be speaking this coming Saturday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Portland as a featured guest of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. Her talk will focus on independent media in a time of war and has been open to the public. Please note, there are a limited number of seats available, and this event is expected to fill quickly. Seats will be on sale the day of the event on a strictly first-come, first-served basis with no advance ticket sales. Admission will be on a sliding scale of $5 to $20. That's Amy Goodman this Saturday, April 22nd at 1:30 p.m. The Hilton Hotel, downtown Portland, 921 Southwest 6th Avenue. This event is a benefit for KBOO Radio.
And you're listening to KBOO in Portland, Oregon. The time is 1 minute after 11. Time for Democracy Now!
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
You must understand that what fuels their industry is really the blood of other people, and therefore a greater sense of responsibility across the waters is demanded from this government.
Nobel laureate Wole Soyinka, the Nigerian writer, talks about oil in the Niger Delta, the effect of Iraq on Africa, and his new memoir, You Must Set Forth at Dawn. But first, Israel's announced it holds the Hamas-led Palestinian Authority directly responsible for Monday's suicide bombing. Hamas has said the attack was justified. We'll look at the state of the occupied territories as international funding is increasingly cut off. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. At the White House Tuesday, President Bush refused to rule out the use of nuclear weapons and the impasse over Iran's nuclear program.
When you talk about Iran and you talk about how you have diplomatic efforts, you also say all options are on the table. Does that include the possibility of a nuclear strike? Is that something that your administration will plan for?
All options are on the table. We want to solve this issue diplomatically, and we're working hard to do so. The best way to do so is therefore to be a united effort with countries who recognize the danger of Iran having a nuclear weapon.
President Bush was also questioned on another issue that's dominated news from the Pentagon, Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, what do you say to critics who believe that you're ignoring the advice of retired generals, military commanders, who say that there needs to be a change?
I say I listen to all voices. But mine's the final decision, and Don Rumsfeld is doing a fine job. He's not only transforming the military, he's fighting a war on terror. He's helping us fight a war on terror. I have strong confidence in Don Rumsfeld. I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
In Colombia, President Álvaro Uribe is facing a potential political crisis amid renewed charges over his alleged dealings with paramilitary groups. The new allegations have come from a former senior official at Colombia's Executive Intelligence Agency, the DAS. The official, Rafael Garcia, has told journalists and prosecutors the DAS provided the paramilitary groups with the names of union leaders and academics, many of whom were subsequently threatened or killed. According to Garcia, the paramilitaries also helped Uribe win an extra 300,000 fraudulent votes during the 2002 presidential elections. And Garcia also says he has proof the DAS worked with paramilitaries to assassinate several key Venezuelan leaders, including President Hugo Chavez. After initial denials, Jorge Noguera, the former director of the DAS, admitted he met with a leading paramilitary commander known as Jorge 40. Uribe himself admitted to holding direct meetings with another paramilitary commander, but blasted the media for pursuing the story. Jose Miguel Vivanco, America's director at Human Rights Watch, said, quote, President Uribe's aggressive response raises suspicions about whether he actually wants the truth known and has a chilling effect on the exercise of freedom of expression. In Iraq, handwriting experts testifying in the trial of Saddam Hussein say they've authenticated his signature on documents relating to a crackdown on Iraqi Shiites in the 1980s. The documents reportedly include an order for the killings of 148 Shia opponents of Saddam Hussein's regime. In Israel, the government has announced it holds the Hamas-led Palestinian Authority directly responsible for Monday's suicide bombing. 9 people were killed, dozens were wounded in the attack, making it the deadliest Palestinian assault on Israel in almost 2 years. Meanwhile, Israeli troops clash with hundreds of Palestinian stone throwers in the West Bank city of Nablus Wednesday. Israeli forces reportedly fired tear gas, rubber-coated steel pellets, and some live rounds at the crowds. Israeli troops also arrested more than 20 Palestinians in raids across the West Bank. The father of the Tel Aviv bomber was reported to be among those detained. We'll have more from Israel after headlines. The Bush administration is coming under criticism for giving a warm reception to a leader widely decried as one of the world's most brutal living dictators in Washington last week. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice greeted the Equatorial Guinean President Teodoro Obiang Nguema, whom she called, quote, a good friend. Obiang has ruled Equatorial Guinea since 1979. According to the neoconservative group Freedom House, only 7 countries rank worse in respect for political and civil liberties. In an editorial that appeared Tuesday, the Washington Post said, quote, if President Bush and Ms. Rice want anyone to take their pro-democracy rhetoric seriously, they must stop throwing bouquets to odious dictators. In other news, a new study from the American Medical Association argues consolidation among health insurance companies has created virtual monopolies in cities across the U.S. In 56% of nearly 300 metropolitan areas, one single provider controls at least half the local health insurance market. The study says 43 states have levels of market concentration that would normally be expected to lead to antitrust investigations. According to the AMA, more than 400 mergers have taken place in the health insurance industry over the last decade. Meanwhile, premium costs paid by average consumers have seen double-digit increases far above inflation and wage hikes. Indicted former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay has disclosed he raised over $480,000 in campaign funds during the 6-week period before he announced he would step down. DeLay's campaigning raised his war chest to $1.4 million. Critics have speculated DeLay put off announcing his retirement in order to use the campaign period to fundraise for his legal defense. In other news, a group of prominent U.S. physicists has written an open letter to President Bush urging him to refrain from nuclear weapons against Iran. The letter's signatories include 5 Nobel laureates and a recipient of the National Medal of Science. According to the physicists, the use of nuclear weapons would be, quote, gravely irresponsible with disastrous consequences for the security of the United States and the world, unquote. Cuba's in the midst of commemorating the 45th anniversary of the U.S. Organized Bay of Pigs invasion. On April 17, 1961, a group of over 1,400 fighters, armed, trained, and directed by the Kennedy administration, landed on Cuba's shores in an attempt to overthrow Cuban President Fidel Castro. Within days, the fighters were defeated in what proved to be a major embarrassment for the Kennedy administration and the CIA. Jose Ramon, who fought for the Cuban government during the Bay of Pigs, reflected on the battle.
Every year we celebrate this. It is celebrated in all of the country, and it brings us great memories. I don't wish for this to happen again, not only here, but anywhere else in the world.
The Chronicle of Higher Education has revealed the FBI is seeking to search through the files of the late investigative journalist Jack Anderson. Anderson, whose legendary career included exposés of the Iran-Contra scandal and the CIA's attempts to kill Cuban leader Fidel Castro, died in December at the age of 83. Federal investigators say they want access to Anderson's files to recover classified documents and seek out evidence that could be used in the current prosecution of two pro-Israel lobbyists. Anderson's family has turned down the FBI's request. During his lifetime, Anderson was viewed with derision by several administrations. He earned a spot on President Nixon's infamous enemies list and was reportedly subject of a poisoning operation ordered by a White House aide. And Chinese leader Hu Jintao is in the United States for his first official presidential visit. Hu's trip began Tuesday in Washington State, where he dined at the home of Microsoft head Bill Gates, along with such guests as Starbucks chair Howard Schultz and former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Today, Hu is expected to tour the manufacturing plant of the aerospace giant Boeing, just days after China finalized a $5 billion deal with the company. Hu will then head to Washington, D.C. for a meeting with President Bush on Thursday. Hu was met by dozens of protesters representing Falun Gong practitioners and supporters of Taiwanese and Tibetan independence. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.